au beau milieu, right in the middle of Saint-Boniface, Manitoba, the largest French-speaking community west of the Great Lakes. And I am at La Maison des Artistes, which translates loosely as the house of the artists, but it's more than that. It's like the home of the artists in Saint-Boniface. La Maison des Artistes Visuels Francophones, visual and French-speaking. And I'm talking to Lisa Maheu, who is the executive director of La Maison des Artistes Visuels Francophones. And Lisa, can you just talk to me about this particular organization and center? Why is it here? What does it do?
It was a kind of a dream about 5 years ago. The Francophone artists decided that they needed a center for the French artists, for French artists specifically in Manitoba, and it saw the light of the light of day. There you go. Thank you very much. In 2000, and we went from there.
And you went from there to do what? What have you achieved so far?
The center itself, which we have around 35 to 45 members, artist members, and it's basically for visual arts, and which we do a lot of things. Mostly, we want to be the a destination for Manitoba. We will have very soon the Jardin de Sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Which is a sculpture garden.
Yes. Also, we will have a commercial side of in the center, and we also have evidently the exhibits.
And you're very much a grassroots travel destination. And we know that grassroots travel is really where it's at these days.
Yes.
It's the personalization of the travel experience. And if I understand you correctly, this center here introduces travelers who come to Saint Boniface to local artists. And who are those artists? They live here? They work here? Do they come from somewhere else as well?
Actually, they come from everywhere in Manitoba. It's all of the artists that want to be part of a center and being part of a membership. And we have lots from the rural as much as the city.
Okay, so this is very important because you really are an expression of the Manitoba art scene and not just Winnipeg or not just Saint Boniface.
Exactly.
Okay, now I want to turn to Dominique Gray, who is the artistic director. And Dominique, can you just talk to me in general terms about this phenomenon of artist-run centers across Canada? And this is an example of one. What is an artist-run center?
An artist-run center means that it is run by artists for artists. So rather than having a commercial angle where artwork is for sale, these are not-for-profit organizations. So the nature of such an artist-run center means that the work is more experimental. It's not for the sake of selling art. It's more for the sake of making art for art's sake.
Now, you're an artist yourself. I've seen your work. It's very exciting. It's very avant-garde in many ways. What are both the challenges and the benefits of having an artist-run center? First of all, the challenges.
Well, for one, because it's not commercial, it's run based on applications for grants from various agencies. So in some ways, it's a little bit of a precarious position because there's not always income that you can depend on. So you spend a lot of time searching for that income. So that's one situation. But nonetheless, I think because artists are so creative and resourceful, they can make do with what other people might find, you know, bare bones and do a lot with. It's actually incredible when you look at this center and you look at a lot of centers across Canada, how much programming they do, how involved they are in the community, with the little bit of budget that they have. It's crazy.
Well, let's look at an actual example, and I'm walking into the gallery here lovely room, and there's an exhibition on right now. It's called Confidence, and the artist is Diane Lavoie, Franco-Manitobaine. And this is, and I'm just going to read this right from the wall. A few women look back on their lives and tell their stories. Each anecdote is coupled with a personal item that embodies it. The secrets and items these women share are recorded and exhibited in display cases. By opening these cases, you will be stepping into the private world of the storytellers. Oh, and by the way, please shut them when you leave. I just want to start, Dominique, the title of this exhibition, which is Confidence. Mm-hmm. Loses in the translation sometimes. Confidence, confidence, but in French it has a slightly broader meaning. And can you explain what the confidence is in French?
Well, it's kind of like a mingling of both an anecdote and a secret. So there's definitely a personal aspect to the story. And it's something that you're sharing privately with another person.
Is this a particularly feminine or even feminist experience?
No, I think men have their own confidence that they make to other men or other people. But I would say that this exhibition might have a feminist angle in this case, or not even necessarily. I think really ultimately this artist is celebrating a group of women's lives, you know, and personal stories that they chose to share with her. So when she invited, you know, different women to share a story with her, she didn't know what they might decide to share. And as it ended up, these stories are actually really intimate, but that have a universal appeal that relate to many, many people. You know, one example is this one. They're loosely based on middle-aged reliquary boxes where, you know, you within this box a very precious item is saved. And there's a historical...
The bones of a saint, for example.
Exactly, hair from a saint, et cetera, or a blood vial. But it's not as gory in this case. These objects are, you know, things that you might find in someone's drawer, for example.
But intimacy.
But
these
yeah.
are intimate experiences.
Yes, exactly. Like one box on the cover is a map and a collage, and it's a map of the Midwest of the U.S. And when you open this this cover,
which I'm just going to do now, enter into a little bit of the world of this person.
On the door, you find a French and English version of this anecdote. And then within the box is this butterfly that looks like it's made out of metal. So as you read the story, you discover that this very rough-looking sculptured butterfly was an item made by this woman's father. And it then tells you the story of how they were living in the 70s. Her father had a disability and wasn't able to work, so they had very low income and had to spend most of their time living in campgrounds, and she would get picked up by the bus at a campground, and how, like, you know, how difficult that is for a child to be, you know, so impoverished. So these butterflies were objects that he would make from pop cans and that he would torch and make into these little... I don't know what you want to call it, artifacts, and try to sell for a few pennies to try to supplement their income. So it's a pretty moving story when you...
And it's a moment suspended in time. This is the butterfly, an object of incredible beauty and vulnerability, and yet the father has captured it for his daughter, this suspended moment in time. Can we go to that one over there? It intrigues me because it's a small, it almost looks like in French, in pharmacie, I don't know what you say in English, in the bathroom where you open
a vanity.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Interesting use of words here. But it's white, it's blank, there's nothing on the front other than a little metal handle, and I'm going to open it. And what have we got here, Dominique?
Well, this woman is telling the story of, she's of Italian descent, and part of her cultural background and baggage is that there's this expectation that Italian women should be excellent cooks and, you know, that they're the homemaker and that the home and the kitchen is this warm space for the family. And I guess she's admitting to not being a very good cook, but rather than that being a place of embarrassment, she's kind of, you know, owned that and kind of celebrates that in an interesting way. And she started collecting all these pans that she had burnt. And they have this really great, beautiful kind of rainbow sheen to the bottom of them from being burnt in the oven. And she started collecting them.
It's humorous, but it's also a form of liberation for her to say, I don't need to necessarily be that.
Exactly.
Now, right next to this one, it's curious. There's a, what do we call these? A case or a,
well, it's
an encadrement?
It's like an iconic figure of Christ.
Okay. This is, okay, in this particular, okay, we have an image of Christ. He's pointing his finger at me as if sort of like Uncle Sam wants mm-hmm. you type of thing.
Exactly.
And I, and very severe eyes. This is not the usual soft, tender Christ. And so now I'm really intrigued. Who's the woman behind this story?
Well, so this is maybe the, you know, the perception of Christ that my parents' generation, I would say 30, 40 years ago, when they were growing up Catholic in rural Manitoba, the church played a really important role in their lives, in their families' lives, and it had a lot of influence and power, and a lot of churches encouraged families to put, you know, to encourage their son and their daughters to become priests and nuns. So this woman is telling the story of, you know, her fear of becoming a nun because she really didn't want to, but she felt the pressure to become one. And so inside the cover, you find this doll that represents a nun. And I guess she feels like she got away, and thinking about it, she says she still gets shivers. But as it turns out, I think, if I remember correctly, two of her sisters did become nuns. So I guess the family did their job. They did their duty.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a bit of a difficult, perhaps political question. I don't know. But what is the role of the Catholic Church these days in the Franco-Manitoban community?
Well, I think it still plays an important role, but, you know, with globalization and the internet and just culture being what it is, I think it would be somewhat similar to what Quebec has experienced, but that there has been a kind of moving back, not moving back, but just like its influence is not as great as it used to be. And I think also because there are a lot of Francophone, Francophile people who are part of the community here, they bring a lot of their own, you know, culture and religious beliefs. So
and the heritage.
Yeah, there's a mingling of different perspectives happening all at once.
And obviously in this very intimate space, this very intimate artistic space, it's very appropriate for the individual stories. And this, it seems to me, is a big part of the Manitoba experience as well, especially from the point of view of an artist. Dominique, I want to thank you very much. You brought a lot of lumière du jour, but today is a bit of a gray day in Winnipeg. So thank you very much for this.
My pleasure, Bob.